It's awesome to have you join me. Thanks for being a part of Wonderful World, and I hope your world is wonderful right now. I'm looking forward to this episode today, and I'm going to talk to you a little plainly. I have to tell you up front that this is not the first recording of this. I actually had recorded a podcast, and I just felt like I didn't get as personal as I should have. So I'm going to be really honest with you today about this subject matter. But before we get into the subject matter and everything we're going to discuss, thank you for those who support what we do. And if you would like to support it financially, you can go to patreon.com/life180, or you can just go to patreon.com/life180 and just see what's going on there. There's one article I think right now that's free. July has been the month that we started putting up stuff for. There's three different levels: $10, $20, and $50. At $10, you get a weekly devotional. At $20, we get some personal contact, and we're, like I said, we're ramping all this up. And at $50, there's actually some training. Right now, talking about your dreams, making your dream a reality. It's a weekly thing, and it's through John Maxwell and his team, and I'd love for you to be a part of that. I'm teaching through that, and so, yeah, it's plenty of access. So $10, $20, $50, or if you just want to go on and see what's going on there, there is going to be a little free article each week, and I would love for you to connect to that. So patreon.com/life180, but thanks for all your support. Thanks for just listening. Thanks for getting the numbers up. I know we're well over 200-something. This was all a mid-COVID idea and something I've wanted to do for a while, but had the time to do it, and now I'm enjoying being a part of that. So today, I want to talk about how the virus, the coronavirus, COVID, whatever name you want to put with all of it, is having an effect on the church and is having an effect on pastors. And so I can speak from the pastor perspective, having pastored 20 years. This is unprecedented where we are right now. And there's been some studies that have come out lately that have shown kind of where people are, and that's making a difference. So I'm sharing everything I'm going to share with you today is from Barna Research, B-A-R-N-A, and you can look them up online. But they had an article that came out a few weeks ago and really shook a lot of people. And I know I've talked to pastors and others who have read this stuff, and it definitely affected them. But the article said 1 in 3 practicing Christians has stopped attending church during COVID-19. And just to share with you, really, I'm only going to share with you 2 paragraphs of this article. It said recent data show that among practicing Christians, those who identify as Christian agree strongly that faith is very important in their lives and attend church at least monthly. That's prior to COVID-19. Over half, 53%, say they have streamed their regular church online within the past 4 weeks. Another 34% admits to streaming a different church service online rather than their own, essentially church hopping digitally. So if you understand, 53% are saying, yes, I'm connecting into my church, my pre-COVID church. Don't you like those terms? I'm checking into my pre-COVID church. 34% say, yeah, I'm, and some of them are checking into their pre-COVID church. And then some of them, I think it was 14%, have actually just said, you know what, I'm changing churches, you know, and they've done that online. So, but 34% say, I'm watching, but I'm streaming in other churches as well. By the way, no big deal. No big deal. There's a lot of good content, and for many people, they have more time on their hands, so this is a good opportunity. And there's more exposure than there's ever been before, so that is a good thing. But here's the part I want to get to. About 1/3 of practicing Christians, 32%, says they have done neither of these things. Though some of these churchgoers may be part of the minority of congregations that were still gathering for physical worship during these weeks, we can, for the most part, confidently interpret this group as those who have dropped out of church for the time being. They have completely dropped out. They are not online. They are not in person. They are not connecting to their pre-COVID church. They're not connecting to any church. They have gotten out. And I will say this to you, plainly and simply, as a pastor, that is incredibly disheartening. It's incredibly disheartening. And as I go along, I'll explain why. But you just have to understand, as people who have given their life to get people to come together as the body of Christ, to see 34% of the people check out, that's disheartening. And I know everybody has a reason why they're not, but it is just incredibly disheartening. Now, pastors have been polled on a lot of this information, and they've been asked stuff about how will it affect and everything else. One of the polls, once the crisis has resolved, I expect our church attendance will have, and then they're given a lot of different choices, I think five different choices, as a matter of fact. One of them, the most, 41% of pastors say it will have declined slightly. Declined slightly. 22% say they will have grown. 16% about stay the same. But I love 14%, and I think these are the honest 14%. And I have to tell you, when I filled out this poll, I was in the 14%, so I'm calling myself honest, okay? I probably shouldn't. Well, I don't know if that's pride or not, but I'm being honest. 14% responded, I have no idea what to expect. I'm there. Now, I do believe there's going to be a decline, but I can't tell you if it's going to be a small decline, a large decline. I don't know. I have no idea what to expect. And so I think that's just the honest answer. Do we think that it's going to get worse or it's going to get better? Who knows? I mean, honestly, back in like May, in early June, we're like, okay, we're through this thing, and now we're back in the middle of it. So it just keeps going back and forth. The questions that were asked, these particular questions I'm sharing with you right now were asked at the end of June. How concerned are you about potential resurgence of COVID-19? And of course, somewhat concerned was 36%, 34% were very concerned, 19% were extremely concerned. How have the events of 2020 impacted your confidence or the future of your church, if at all? That varied as well. Some were less confident, a small percent were less confident. The larger group was somewhat less confident. And so it's just changed. Now, I'm telling you all this because here's what I want to do today. This isn't article-driven today. This is just heart-driven. Why are pastors disheartened when they see this 34%? One of the reasons, and I said I'm going to be honest with you, so if you're scared of honesty, well, don't turn it off. I'd rather listen, okay? But the reason I'm disheartened, reason why pastors are disheartened, and myself included, one of the reasons, probably not the big reason, but I have to tell you one of the reasons, just to go ahead and be honest, and that is ego. Just plain and simple, ego. Because everything that you do in ministry, you take personally. And when someone decides, I don't need you anymore. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear you not only in person. I don't want to hear you online. Or I'm going to go somewhere else. You cannot say that the human element does not enter. I think I shared with you 1 week a pastor of 2,500 said he stood up in front of a group of 500. And I know some of us would like stand up in a group of 500 and be like, because almost 80 to 90% of churches in America are 250 or less. And I don't know if you know that statistic, but I need to look up the exact number. Maybe I'll share that with you in the future. But that's just, but for him, where there's 2,500. So let's do the, let's say the church of 100. That's 20 showing up, right? So you just put the number with it. And that's disheartening. That's discouraging because you do. You're like, what, are they rejecting me? And I go back to Samuel whenever the children of Israel said, we want a king. Everybody else has a king. We want a king. And Samuel's like, no, you don't need a king. You have God. And he's really trying to get them to understand you have God as your authority. And they're like, we want a king just like everybody else. And he goes to God and he's like, I don't. And he's just torn up about it. And God says, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. He said, Samuel, this isn't about you. This is bigger than you. And I think that's what I have to come away with, that this is bigger than me. This is bigger than a pastor. And when I say pastor, don't think we're just talking about one person. In our church, we have pastors, elders. That leadership group, this is bigger than you. And you need to know that. So one of the reasons it's disheartening is ego. And I'd rather go ahead and talk about that, get off that right off the bat, and let you know. Now, I know, myself included, have had a lot of people that have reached out, hey, you're doing a good job. Thank you for everything you're doing. And that is a very much appreciated, more than you know. But it doesn't replace the fact that 32% of people are still checking out. That's disheartening. The other reason is disheartening. One of the other reasons, there's several of them, but I won't have time to share all of them with you today. We get nuanced so deeply in some of this. But another reason that it is disheartening is because pastors are doing more than they've ever done before and doing different things than they've ever done. And there's seemingly not a lot of positive results. Not a lot of positive results. Now, one thing you have to know, that ministries are many times number driven, and that is a terrible thing, but it's just a reality. And so when we say results, it's many times we're not seeing the numbers. And pastors are having to do things they've never done before. Worship teams are having to do things they've never done before. As I said, most churches are smaller, and they didn't have a big online presence to begin with. Even larger churches didn't have a great online presence. And so now all of a sudden to do everything live or do everything recorded during the week. I really date yourself when you say tape, don't we? Recorded during the week, you know, all that sets and lights and everything that's needed to make lighting look right so you don't look like. I'm not belittling, I'm not making fun of. I watched a pastor the other day do a video, and it looked like Al-Qaeda had captured him and was holding him hostage, this room he was in. You could barely see his face, and you could barely hear it, and it was muffled. And the guy was doing the best he could. I guarantee you, he was doing with what he had, and I know the size of his church. He was just doing the best what he had. It's weird. They've never done this stuff before. And while you're doing this, you're just literally opening yourself up to criticism like never before, because I'm criticizing the guy that looked like he was in Al-Qaeda video. it's just different. It is so different. And you don't really know. I had a pastor friend tell me the other day, nobody's telling me. I don't even know if anybody's watching. You know, I see eight views up there. I'll talk about the views in just a second. But I see eight people on right now, but I don't know if anybody's even connecting to this. No, this whole thing began through YouTube and through Facebook. People were like, oh, we're reaching more people than ever. Look, we had 1,000 views, and we only usually have 150 people, and we had 1,000 views. And they're talking about views on YouTube and Facebook and whatever media. But the truth is, those views are just somebody clicked in and looked at it. And you know you've all done this. You've clicked in, and you've listened to a worship song from this church, or you've listened to the pastor for about 5 minutes, and you've bounced back and forth on stuff like that. Those aren't real. That's just people tagging in and out. And so they really don't know if they're making an impact and making a difference. And that's difficult. Imagine anybody trying to do anything worthwhile and have it with people's lives and not know if they're making a difference. That's disheartening. That's difficult. There's no tangible. There's nobody standing in front of them saying, hey, I want to talk to you about this, and I have this, and I'm sharing this. And so you just got to know that that is a very real part of their humanity. And so pastors are discouraged by that. And they're disheartened because they just feel like, I don't know if I'm making a difference, and I'm doing stuff I've never done. We're doing VBS to go at our church. And so people are picking up packets every week. We've never done that before. And you know, are we putting in the work to get all these packets together, and then they're going and getting thrown in the car, and they're under the seat next week, and somebody's like, who left this under here? You know, I mean, that's the way you're like, I don't know what's going to make a difference. Now, I will tell you, I'm thankful for encouragement. And encouragement sometimes comes from somebody's voice, but encouragement also comes from results. And this past week, we had a young man who, by the way, when we started having in-person services as well as online, but we started having in-person services in the middle of May. Actually, the first service we had was just the worship team, and this guy came that day. He was a coworker of somebody on our worship team. He came, and it was like him and one other person beside the worship team, myself, and I think just the sound and audio guys. I'm sorry, visual guys. He came and just found out this past week he's put his faith in Jesus, and he's Yeah. So you're like, okay, result. And I was so encouraged by that, because you're just trying to find something you're encouraged by. And so thank God for that. And that's like the biggest encouragement, by the way. And actually, I told my wife, hey, if it took COVID and all that we went through to get that, I'm good. I'm good. And I really, really genuinely am. As much as I want to see other people, you know, come back, I want to see that. So that was encouraging. So there is encouragement, but the disheartening continues. One of the other reasons people are disheartened is because no matter what you do, somebody's going to criticize it. As a pastor, you know that. Listen, pastors have never done this before. We've never dealt with a pandemic. Just like you have never dealt with a pandemic. Pastors have never dealt with pandemics. So do we have in-person services or not? Do we make people wear masks or not? Do we just do online? What do we do? And there's this whole debate and warfare, and at the same time, there's criticism that comes no matter what you do. I can't believe y'all aren't having in-person services. What are y'all scared of? You scared of the government? No, we're not scared of the government. But, you know, that's the way it's addressed. And then on the other side, I can't believe y'all are having in-person. Are you trying to kill people? No, we're not trying to kill people. And we have masks. We're giving people opportunity to wear a mask. We've never told anybody they could or they had to wear a mask or they couldn't. We've never said any of that. We've let people take responsibility. But no matter what you do, you get criticized. And so that is another layer of the discouragement that takes place. And when you just know that every decision you make, now, you know, as a leader, and by the way, talking about leadership, every decision you make as a leader, somebody's not going to be happy. But this has just been a different level, as it has been for so many. And so that's why I respect leaders, our political leaders on both sides of the aisle. I respect people who are having to make the tough decisions. Our medical staff, good grief, they're incredible. People that run stores making decisions during this time, it's so easy to sit on the outside and criticize, but it's so different to live it. And so when you know that no matter what decision you make, you're going to get criticized, that's disheartening. But I think it's mainly disheartening because you feel like these people should know you. Wait a minute, you know me. You know I love you. You know I love people. You know I'm not going to put anybody in danger. You know me. You know I'm not afraid to make a tough decision, and I'm not dependent on the government to decide what I can and can't do. You know me. And when you feel like those people that did know you just criticize, that's disheartening. And so you got pastors that are literally going through it. This past Tuesday night, so we do a midweek on, I don't know if you call it a service, it's just me, or one of our elders. We do a thing for their church on Facebook and get to interact with people a little bit and give a little, give some scripture and some encouragement. And it's been good. We've had good response to it. But at the same time, because of everything you're doing this past week, I just, you know, toward the end, just got emotional with everything, thinking about who God is, but also thinking about just the effect that this has had. And so Wednesday, I'm watching a pastor friend of mine, actually just, he's more than a pastor friend, he's a good friend, has been for years. And I watched him get very emotional. And I realized, wow. So I messaged him that night after he got done. And then he and I FaceTimed, I don't know, Thursday night probably. And we just talked about the emotional toll. And it was like two brothers pulling alongside each other. Hey, I got you. I got you. I love you. And, you know, we just need it. You just need that. You just need that. Now, why am I sharing all this with you? And using this podcast time to do that? It's because I want you to understand the spiritual leaders around you. And first of all, let me address this. If you are a spiritual leader listening to me, I love you. And I'm with you. And if I can encourage you in any way, I want to do that today. I want to tell you that your labor is not in vain. That verse has meant more than ever before, because I'm like, are you sure about that? I'm not really sure that my labor is not in vain, because it really feels like it right now. But your labor is not in vain. I have been so encouraged by people that have come. They're my children, but they're also all mostly adults except for one. And they've been inviting coworkers and people and to come to our house, to come to watch online, also to come to our in-person services. And they've been doing that, and we've watched, and these people are asking questions. And so that's really encouraging and really inspiring. Your labor's not in vain. They're hearing. And because people are just not connected as much, you never know the impact you might be making. This pastor friend that I talked about, he told me about a owner of a restaurant who professes to be an atheist, has seen the work that he's doing and trying to do, and has come alongside him. Hey, how can I help you? How can I help feed people? You never know the impact you're having. And so be encouraged if you're one of those leaders. And if you're a part of a church, and be encouraging to the leaders. But can I tell you, your words mean an incredible amount, but not nearly the amount that your faithfulness, your work, your effort, your presence, however that works out in your situation, whichever way you can connect. I don't need necessarily people to connect with me. What would be more encouraging to me, this is the truth, and I think most pastors would say this, is to find out that you are connecting to others. When this whole pandemic started, we had a group of ladies that they went out and put red ribbons on everybody's mailbox in the church to let them know they're being prayed for, let them know they're being cared about. And that was at the time where we were shut down, so nobody could have contact. And so that was incredible. Some did went and baked things and made things and took things to people, and they just tried to connect. That is more encouraging than filling the whole church back up. Truth be honest, I want to see the church filled up because I want to be able to connect to people, and I want to hear people worship. Man, don't you want to hear just the roof come off a place again? I want to hear that and be a part of that. But I would love to hear this week that like three church members got together and they started connecting to everybody in the church. They got a hold of a church roster in some way and they said, I'm going to make a difference in this person's life and that person's life, or I'm going to bring this one person in and disciple them and minister to them. And I found out this person has a need, excuse me, and I'm reaching out to them. That is what we need. And that would be encouraging. So if you're wondering how to go from the disheartening to the encouraging, go make an impact in somebody's life. And I know for me, I will speak for me, but I believe I know the hearts of pastors. That would encourage people beyond what you can even fathom or imagine right now. So try it. Go be the encourager. Go be the person that's going to build up, the person that's going to love somebody and help them. And watch how transformational that is to not only that person, but to you. The early church was eating together. The early church was fellowshipping together. They were living life with one another, really living life. And even before this, we've climbed in the holes of our homes, and they've become our little hiding places and our little comfort zones. And we've gone into those, and we've isolated ourselves. And God never intended for His church to be isolated. He never intended for His church to be isolated. He intended, as a matter of fact, His commission was to go to all the world, to go to every nation and make disciples. So there's no way that we're supposed to be isolating. And I know if there are times we have to do this. And I'll repeat it, and I've said it again and again. This is a very real virus with very real consequences. People are really getting sick. People are unfortunately truly dying, and there's a lot of hurting people. But I know this, when that kind of stuff is happening, when that many people are hurting, that's not the time to hide, that's the time to minister. That's the time to make a difference. So I want to encourage you, go make a difference. Go do something. Find some way, and it may be somebody you can't take anything to. you have a phone call. How many people have you called and reached out to and encouraged and blessed and shared something with? There are a thousand ways you can be a blessing and minister to people. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of that. If you are somebody who is checked out, I want to ask you to get back in the game. I want you to ask to get back where you need to be. You need to get back with the people that are going to help you grow. You need this. And so don't leave. Get in and watch what God can do. So this is just my encouragement to you today. And I know it's been a little different today. I wanted to share with these things personally. I have so much research I could share with you, but I don't have the time to. But I just want you to take this heart. So this is my heart, by the way. This is who I am as a minister. I love to minister to people. And that's all I'm doing right now is just saying, hey, you know, I want you to minister to people and make a difference in people's lives and make an impact on people. And I believe that's really what every pastor wants to do. And we're just trying to find new ways to do it, different ways to do it. This podcast came about because I'm finding another way to speak into people's lives, finding another way to make a difference. And if this helps you, it's been worth it. That's part of Life 180, what I do there with Patreon. I want to help people. I want to give you some resource. I want to give you, and now that we're in this digital age even more, this is a chance to do that. So find your place. Find your way to minister and help somebody. And I hope that it makes an incredible difference in somebody's life, because I know you will. So catch up with Patreon, with us on that. Make a difference in somebody's life this week. Those are your assignments. And I hope next week to have some Gen Z on here with me. Oh, my goodness. I hang out with these guys all the time, and I'm a little nervous. I'm going to ask a couple of them to come on, and they're probably going to be more nervous than I am now that I talk in the mic all the time. But I want you to hear from them. If you didn't listen to last week's podcast on the Gen Z, go back and listen to it, and you'll get up. And then next week, I'm going to try to get a couple Gen Z to come in-house and talk. And some of them love to talk. Some of them hate to talk. I found the ones that hate to talk usually actually have a lot to say if you can get them to open up. And so I hope to do that. So just be listening out for that and be ready. Thanks for supporting Wonderful World. And I hope you have not just a wonderful day, not just a wonderful life, but I hope you live in a wonderful world. And I hope that as you do that, you know, you make a difference in somebody else's life. God bless. Thanks for being a part of today.